Manchester.
What's the special chemistry of Manchester?
I don't know whether I could explain it.
Speaking as a fellow Mancunian.
The city's not really that distant.
Factory Records over this place.
This is the Hacienda.
Life-size picture of Tony Wilson's head inside there.
Now the history of Joy Division and New Order.
Into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has won it! Manchester United are the champions of Europe again. Aguero!
It's time for another season.
Manchester have changed the world before. Why on earth can't we go out there and do so again?
Well, we're still here in Manchester. We're on our second episode of our Manchester trilogy.
We are.
It's still the day before the big game.
It still is.
We've still got our shirts on the back of our chairs.
But I think we're keeping it professional because we're both wearing branded.
We've got our behind the
stuff,
billboard. Which I've realised on the way up here is like you've tactically done those in Manchester United colours as well.
Well, come on, mate. I'm a professional. Anyway, so who have we got today?
We have Lisa Nichols and Gary Fawcett with us.
Yeah.
They're actually in the room, so we try and hide it. We normally just go, oh, shall I go and get them or shall you go and get them? But they're actually here in the room with us. So
you just jump straight into
now
the script.
Now you can jump straight into your script.
And I like a script. Right.
I like a script.
Lisa Nichols and Gary Fawcett, ECDs at TVWA Manchester. Welcome to Behind the Billboard. Our very special version of which is in Manchester. Here we are in Gas Music, still. I feel like we've been here, been here 3 weeks now.
3 weeks?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, the release schedule says we've probably been here 7 weeks now. And it's still the day before the game.
Yeah, sorry. It's really messing with your head. So thanks for coming. I know we talked a bit about you coming to London.
Yeah.
Bit of farting around there, so... It actually makes it so much more sense coming here today. So where is TBWA Manchester? Is it nearby?
It's City Centre, so just off Oxford Road. Is it Oxford Street then, which would be London.
That would be very London, yeah. That's where our studio is.
I get those two mixed up.
One's really glitzy, the other one much less so.
Really shit city.
Tramp corner.
Grime.
A bit of grime. A little bit. There is the bus stop of doom, I call it.
The bus
I used to get. Yeah. Number 33 for people in Manchester, you'll know it well. Right. We're in Canada House on Chepstow Street, which is an old... cotton mill building, so it's
nice. It's nice
building.
To be central, isn't it, in a certain respect. Yeah. My daughter's up here at university and she lives in Fallowfield, but I was here at university as well, so I know it very well, and I'm one of Gary's closest friends, so it's very lovely. So before we get into it, we're going to do our Lisa and Gary facts section.
Lisa and Gary facts.
So Lisa and Gary,
this is where you get to tell us whether we got them right or not.
Or just don't say anything at the very end. Say
when you chuck the rogue one in.
When I said Wyden and Kennedy wrong for an hour and a half.
Sounds good.
So Lisa and Gary worked in the street for over 25 years for a huge array of clients, including Pizza Hut, British Airways, EA Games, Harvey Nichols, and many more. Their work has been recognised at Cannes, DNAD, The One Show, New York Festivals, Epica, London International. I imagine, again, many more award shows. You won loads of stuff. For the past 15 years, I think you've been at TBWA Manchester. I think you've been running it for a bit less. But whatever you've been doing, looks like you've been creating work that has the disruptive ethos of the TBWA mothership. None more so than the recent work for prostate cancer, which I'm going to start the joke we're going to touch upon in a bit.
You lifted up just slightly.
I've actually had prostatitis, so we could talk about it later on in the show.
Let's leave that until the mics are off.
I've got my gloves in my bag, don't worry about it.
Dan's being uncomfortable. You shouldn't be, mate. You should talk about it.
You don't actually, the whole point of that campaign is that you don't actually have to... anymore.
So it does also say here, the work featured men's bottoms on posters all over the country, but it turned out to be something completely different.
And we actually fell victim to it as well, didn't we? Because we posted it on social and we had our had the post removed.
Yeah.
That does happen. Yeah.
Instagram went for us. Yeah. We were like, but you've fallen for it.
Yeah, the algorithm. Instagram. It's the algorithm.
I'm glad that you thought they were bottoms, because a lot of people have... kind of first said, is that a scrotum? Just because of the level of hair on it.
Oh, my God. Okay, hold that scrotum thought. Outside of work...
You're talking about Man United again.
Outside of work, Lisa enjoys her life, whereas Gary is a Manchester United fan.
Yeah, that is true.
We're going to leave that one there.
Yeah.
How are, so we this is where we sort of ask you a bit what you're up to at the very moment. Is there anything exciting coming out? Are you busy? Are you quiet? What's the vibe?
We've just been through a huge process of jobs being completed, so in production and out. And then it kind of goes in cycles, doesn't it? So then we're just sort of restarting that process of doing some new creative work for clients I can mention, probably.
I don't know.
Don't just say clients.
Clients various. So we're just in the, you know, out of strategy, into creative department with some really good, exciting briefs for some really interesting bands. So, yeah, we're sort of into that cycle again.
Merlin Entertainments, because they've obviously got so many different parks that we work on, that's the bit that goes in a big cycle, doesn't it? So
Is it seasonal stuff?
Yeah, basically when the park, well, you start on it generally around summer and then the new ride launches come out at spring, that kind of thing, and all the parks close at a certain point, and then there's this time where you get to go in and film when it's quite cold, and you know,
it's
supposed to look like summer but it doesn't, and you've got the job of doing that, so it's it just cycles its way through, and then we're into other stuff, but always other stuff ongoing in between times.
Does that mean you get to go and ride all the new attractions and
We don't personally, but there is a bit of that, I think, isn't there?
For other people, not me.
Yeah, you do. You kind of, when they're shooting some of the rides, you'll see the ad and go, hang on, I recognise that.
Yeah, there's all the people from the agency.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Looking a little bit
green. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. So I'm going to pass over to Dan for Billboard.
We have, we always start with the Billboard End of My Street, which is brought to you by Super Optimal Design Intelligence for Out of Home. What classics or horrendous abominations have you got for us? Well, I see we've got two in the deck, so we'll start with the first one.
I've got to say, Gary's looks really good.
Yeah,
Gary, talk us through what you've got here, mate.
This is a lie, because it's not the Billboard at the end of my street, because I had to drive about 4 miles to find it, and then in the end I found it in Manchester.
Okay, fine.
But I'm a bit of a sucker for a good headline. So when I saw Manchester, a record collection the whole world rifles through, Simply Red and all, I was like, ooh, I like it. It is actually advertising a new typeface, which was a bit of a weird connection. I was expecting something different.
What does it say at the bottom?
I think it says Manchester Meet Mancunia, which is a new font, which is an unusual one to put on a billboard, isn't it?
I like
that. I've not seen an advert for a font on a billboard before.
No.
So where was it?
It was right in the centre of Manchester near our building. So I guess that one is technically end of my street.
Yeah,
you can have that, because some people spend so long in their agencies. I think Shelley Smoller said she spent so long at Droga 5 that that street was really
a street. Spent more time there than at home.
So.
Okay, well, we'll go. That's a very nice place. We're going to go from that to
a very not nice place.
So Lisa's choice.
This is right outside our building. I live in the country, so the nearest to a poster is really something for the WI advertising cakes. So I don't think we want to talk about that. So this is the exact opposite of Gary's, in that it's a third A4 leaflet. As a 6-sheet, it's got 8,000 words on it, too many pictures, a QR code, 4 logos. So it's also in a place where I don't think anybody's stopping to read that. So knowing where it is in terms of context and audience and the message, getting all professional about it. It's a freaking waste of time, I would say, as a poster, and the exact opposite of what anybody would want a poster to be.
It's a waste of time and media. That is prime real estate in the middle of Manchester on a JCDecaux.
Yeah, because it's a nice screen.
Digital 6-sheet screen.
Yeah, digital
6-sheets. You know, that's a great opportunity. And it's weird, isn't it? It sort of feels like it should be in the bin.
What is it? Flexible workspaces.
Yeah, so it's just office.
It's trying to do too much, obviously.
It's like,
but if someone's just repurposed it and gone, and stick that up.
Yeah, just put it on.
You can
see
there's sadly a lot of that type of thing around, isn't there?
But obviously, it's on a digital cycle, so the previous posters that are on there, they're all very simple. You know, they're not, you know, creatively fine.
Oh, did you wait and let's have that one.
Yeah, let's talk about that one, because it's the diametric to everything else that we would discuss on this. So
Well, I mean, we use this to talk about the state of the industry anyway. What's your opinion of what you're seeing out in the world at the moment?
I was thinking that I really struggled to find a billboard near me, which was a bit of a shock because there used to be more of them. I kind of thought Out of Home, particularly Static Out of Home, was doing a bit of a victory lap at the minute because you see a lot of agencies, more agencies kind of doing it. And I guess because of social media, any media can become viral. So, you know, it's been quite good for posters in the last few years. You know, things like the Whopper post, the bus side going viral about Boris Johnson, you know, and all of the kind of stuff where people are attacking billionaires at the minute. And they used to put up hot air balloons, didn't they? And they're now booking six sheet posters opposite key places. So I don't know. From my point of view, I would have thought it was a bit more visible again. I think it's day again.
I'm going to go on. I think there's a renaissance of simplicity, one word, for posters. The reason I came into advertising, I loved it, was the purity of the 48 sheet when I first started my degree. I thought, if I could do something that's as good as some of those things that you see in D&AD when you're a student, I will, you know, count myself very, you know, anywhere near that, count myself very lucky. And you see that simplicity coming back through again now. It feels like it goes in a cycle. And it's just really lovely to see. And again, when you're speaking to your teams about what makes a great poster, now we've got actual examples in live right in front of us, so it's great to see.
And do you do that with your teams? Do you kind of do a review of what's out and wild at the moment?
Everybody shares what they've seen, whether or not it's something as bad as the one we've just discussed.
I think it's important to share the bad shit as well.
I was up recently and I walked around Piccadilly and I was blown away by the quality of the digital six sheets. It was McDonald's, but it was, and they're really on the case. They're so good. And it's like we were saying, seeing it in the wild, proper, not just like it's run a few times or it's been amplified on social media, but it's really there. And I was like, wow, this is great because people see it. And then, you know, it's just rewarding. You walk past and you go, oh, I got that. I didn't have to stop. And it wasn't confusing. And I think we've been doing this, 5 years? And it's like, I think at the beginning, I don't know, a bit of a bold statement this. I think at the beginning or beginning third, it did feel a bit like it wasn't, people would come on and go, oh, I don't know, you know. But I don't know.
There's a different vibe in the last couple of years,
I think it's like an antidote to the amount of video and content we have to wade through, isn't it? Yeah. We get battered with it.
Yeah.
So
as
soon as you see something instant, it's like, oh, God, you know.
And you know you don't have to share. You don't have to work. You don't have to do something to it, you know. I mean, there's ones which are interactive, which are great if they're easy to, but, you know, it's that immediate thing. It's either, oh, my God, that's confusing. I don't need to engage with it, or go, oh, that's lovely. I mean, actually, at the end of my road, so I have actually got, there is a billboard about 40 seconds from my house, and that's why we came up with the idea. And there was a British Airways one there about 6 months ago, one of the ones, you know, just a fuselage, nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
And normally that billboard is like, you know, the one you showed us, just absolute dross, and quite a few of them are now. You think, well, that's decent, and that's
Well, actually, Gary, I think you're right. I know you said there used to be more billboards around. I think what's happened is the media owners have taken down loads of 48 sheets that weren't performing so well, and because they've got all of these big media owners have got digital screens out there as well. They've kind of upweighted into areas where they know they perform well, and the shit one under the railway bridge is gone. You know, those units that weren't changing as much because no one was buying them have been taken away over the last 10 years.
Right.
One of the other things that this segment is sponsored by Super Optimal, and Hugh and I have been making sure that we go out and take photos of what we see, not necessarily just at the end of our street, not just the BA one at the end of his street, but on our way up here. So I took one today at Reading Station for this ad for Roman Baths. And what we thought we'd do as part of the sponsorship with Super Optimal is run some of the stuff that we find out in the wild through the system to see how it performs and whether the artwork has been optimized for Out of Home. This one scored, we'll put the report on the feed.
Right.
It scored particularly badly. One of the things that the team there did is they blocked out one of the areas of where there was superfluous copy.
Right.
And then retested it, and it actually tested much better.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons for using a tool like that when you're in the design process is you're going, okay, so let's quickly test it, which, you know, it's a minimal amount of cash to do it. It comes back and says, actually,
right,
this if by changing something, tweaking it, we can make it better and more suitable for the out-of-home space. And certainly for Lisa, your choice from today.
I'd love to see what that would score.
Do you know what? I might try and run it through there this afternoon.
Just imagine it won on everything. Oh, yeah. We're all doomed, aren't we?
It's like a traffic light system. So there's a, you know, there's a hard red on that at the moment for sure. But hopefully.
But then I'd be interested, to talk about Super Optimal if it could sort of... not AI itself, but it by seeing good
it will it will learn. Yeah. It's an AI engine, so it will learn. And it also it'll learn trends as well, which is quite nice. So it's good.
Does it always end up in the art of reduction though? Is
not always. The scoring system on this is just to get to say it's optimized for out of home. You know that it's not trying to art direct. It's not trying to always reduce. It might be legibility. It may be changing one thing here may help the way that the eye reads or that the mind.
And can you feed into that position, so placement and context? So this is like a bit more dwell time. And
yeah,
this
is a 48-sheet poster. It's built for out of home. It has an understanding of location, environment, and audience. So, and it gives you, as I say, I'll show you the report afterwards. Mm. But we'll make it available, and you can read through how it's been built because it's been built specifically for out of home and to improve creativity. So,
great. Okay, well, let's look at your first billboard. We've only got one here. Is it you did together? Shall I describe it?
It's slightly problematic, so I'll probably let Lisa talk about that.
I'll talk about this one, given the area it goes into.
Tell us what's going on here. It's for a client called the Dynamic Earth.
So our Dynamic Earth was a client we had, one of our very first clients when we worked for an agency called BJL. So it was one of the first Millennium Projects, a visitor attraction up in Edinburgh. The Queen opened it. We got to go. We saw Queenie, la, la, la.
Right.
And it was all about you go back in time to the very beginning, the Big Bang, right through all the periods of history in geology, because that was a big thing in Edinburgh, and, market that attraction.
Yeah.
So obviously that would cover a time when there was dinosaurs and whatnot roaming the earth, one of which would be a pterodactyl. So we thought, great, let's get a pterodactyl on a 48-sheet poster with a line, go back to a time when being picked up by a bird had a totally different meaning.
Yeah.
Strap line, live 4,500 million years in a day. Yes. So obviously contextually now saying being picked up by a bird's not necessarily PC. It was fine then. So I'm going to caveat that.
Yes.
And I am a girl, so I can say that.
I think there's something in everyone's portfolio that probably wouldn't have run now.
Yeah.
But it's also got a pterodactyl on the poster.
So interesting story on the pterodactyl. He got stolen from the poster.
Someone nicked the pterodactyl.
Yeah. So I think it was at Waverley Station in Edinburgh. So forget nicking a traffic cone. Going to nick a pterodactyl off a poster. Pissed up.
That's sitting in some student's flat.
Isn't it? Probably there now, actually.
It became an article in The Sun as well, weirdly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's perfect, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
that's quite a good start.
Yeah.
So where did you...
Hold on, was there a backup pterodactyl?
No.
I don't remember.
No, I'm pretty sure there wasn't at the time. Oh,
so when that... Then that's off there.
Doesn't quite work, does it?
Just draw it on... Meant to be pterodactyl.
Lots of Scottish people like, what do you mean?
There's a picture of someone scratching their head there.
Right, we're going to go from pterodactyls to bottoms, or purportedly to bottoms.
Good word.
Yep, close. What can we do? We're looking at what probably is a very big hairy bottom. I remember seeing this, never met you guys before, knew about TBWA Manchester, of course. And thinking, fucking hell, wow, it's such a brilliant campaign. Not because it's just a brilliant advertising campaign, but because I'm a man of a certain age, as we mentioned before, and I've had problems with my prostate. And I have, without going into it, it's been, it's quite...
Don't not read the line that you wrote, because it's probably the funniest thing you've ever written.
Read it.
Let's start at the bottom, shall we? Hey.
But I was just trying to make it more emotional thing that, like, it spoke to me. Because, well, I was starting at the bottom, the hairy ones. But tell us more about this, because it's a really important campaign. It changes the perspective, literally, for men and prostate issues, and you've done it in such a way which is so brilliant and sort of controversial. How did it come about, prostate, the work?
It began with the team that did it. I think they were handed a leaflet about the PSA test, and they were kind of, I just did not know that really. And I guess,
can you explain what the PSA test is?
You can now have a PSA test in your arm, basically.
So that's for a prostate specific antigen.
So you'll have
a level in your bloodstream that will indicate whether or not you need to check out what's going on up there, down there, however you want to call it.
Yeah, because for people who don't know, so if you have prostate cancer, it shows up in
PSA.
But then there was also a way of testing for men's prostate cancer where you inspect the prostate.
Yeah.
So you would have your GP with his glove on, ask you to bend over, finger up your rectum, and if you can feel changes, off you go to get further tests done. You don't have to have that done. Yeah.
So it's weird also because when I had my men's medical check, I was this January gone. I was like, okay, here we go. And what he always used to do is, right, okay, so off on your own holiday this year? And I'd be like, oh, fucking hell. And then he didn't do the test. And I sort of got to the end and I said, are we not? He said, oh, no. The blood is better. It's a better test. It's much more accurate.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. It's not just... because I heard that, then I saw this campaign, I'm going, oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
So how... yeah.
The stat is half the power of it, though, I think, isn't it? Because I think they just felt compelled, like, we have to tell men about this, because men are frightened as it going to the doctor as it is, and then, as you've so eloquently described that, on top of it, it's something...
So is it an existing... sorry, go again. Tell us, the team got a...
So they got a leaflet. Yeah. I mean, as any... you know, decent creative team, always on the lookout for what their next, you know, speculative job might be. A lot of the teams at TBWA are like that. Mm-hmm. Got that leaflet, great stat in hand, great bit of data in hand, and went, how do we bring this to life in a way that's going to make, do it with a smile, because it's a pretty hefty subject, cancer. So how do we do it in a way that's going to pull people in, do it with a smile, and surprise them and put that fact across in a very engaging way that men will feel comfortable or not comfortable to see or read, and then thank you for it because they get out of having to bend over. So they went away, and I don't think they thought they had a million and one ideas about it. I think it was one of those rare, beautiful opportunities where you just get that idea and there it is. And then they came and talked to us about it, and we had quite a good...
it was a little session, squiggle, wasn't it?
I'm imagining them sitting there kind of trying to photograph the crooks of their arms.
So how did they show it to you? Yeah, because when did you sit in this situation?
I think they'd done it on their arm, hadn't they? It was very basic.
Very basic.
For listeners to understand, so you would, what, fold your arm?
So you're where your elbow is, where the crease of your elbow from the upper to the lower arm looks like a pair of bum cheeks, basically.
So they took a photo of that?
Yeah. They'd done several ways. They mocked it up. Yeah, yeah, it was very pasty arm. It just looked like, so we just said, do that.
Why are you taking pictures of your arses? That was my first thought. And then I was like, no, that's really clever.
Because what I was thinking as well, it's a masterclass in photography, casting and cropping, because I was thinking, was there a point where you two and the team gone, doesn't look like arse, doesn't look like that, looks like an arse, that's, you know, was there a sweet spot?
The puns just line up, don't they?
If I'm looking at them now, they'd all look like bottoms.
There was a lot of playing about with cropping, I remember, yeah, but I think we were so confident even just with the basic test that it was going to work. The shoot itself was kind of beg, borrowing and stealing. I think one of them is the art director's arm, another one is the client, another one is an actor, and the other one is the lead singer of Fats and Small.
Do you remember the Naughties band?
Yeah, weirdly, because he just had a connection to the charity. So it was whoever turned up, basically. It wasn't this massive selection of like people doing that.
Right. So it was
a casting call for arm.
Yeah.
And so did you crop wider, or was there a moment where you just went, that's it, you've got it? Because it's one of those things, it's got to look right, isn't it?
I think the sort of distance at the bottom kind of had to feel enough like there could be daylight there and there could be legs almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then even just the top left-hand corner, it was quite important just to show a bit of elbow there, just so there was a second look in it.
Yeah.
It's just such a brilliant,
it's just such a brilliant piece of work.
Yeah, as I say, we got told off for posting. Well, Instagram's algorithm pulled our post down, and we were like, "Well, what's happened here?" And then realised it was for the same reason.
I think places like Ads of the World, there was a lot of blurring, and
So, what's your? I imagine a response has been pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean it's last March, isn't it? So
yes.
So it's been a while. Done for Prostate Awareness Month, which is March.
So what did you get? People complaining or people?
There was a couple of comments, I think, that were around, don't put people off going to the GP to ask for an actual exam, because that's just as important. But they were more like, not complaints, just my experience was this. So it was good because that conversation was started about what you can do, what you should do, what your experience was, what his experience was. So it was different, but we were just thankful that people were talking about it because... Yeah.
That's
people
the job
don't,
done.
They do they? Yeah. And it's interesting that, you know, for me, obviously, being a woman, and a lot of women will talk about a lot of things, and there are a lot of campaigns out there about women's health, to see, you know, the guys in the agency picking up on this, and, you know, the people we showed it to within the agency to send to check it and to see what the reactions were so encouraging and so good that we kind of knew this is really something.
What's really good about it, so I haven't read the headline, but the headline says a prostate check isn't what you think. And then the second line, it's just a blood test taken from your arm. So that's not even, that's probably just virtually lifted off a brief. It's so matter of fact, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because your visual is doing so much heavy lifting for you. Yeah. It's did it win at Cannes? Did it do well?
It was shortlisted. Yeah, it got two DNAD shortlists.
Yeah, no, that was our response.
Cannes shortlist, So close.
So close, but yeah.
Definitely deserved more at Cannes.
Yeah, it's outstanding work. Who were the team, sorry, behind it?
There was Tom Holmes and Glenn Schofield were the names. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Great piece of work from them.
Yeah. So we got to talk about another piece of work which caught our eye. Down in that there, London, from Manchester. Gary's always taking the piss out of us, but it's this homelessness spiking campaign. I can't remember where I saw this again. I think it might be in Creative Review or something. You know, that thing you're talking about, work being amplified through social. And it's just another really, really well observed cast. It's really stunning. I think it's even more stunning than the other campaign because it's brilliant the way you did it. But then to think that's happening in the real world is so shitty, you know. So it's what's it called, brutal architecture or something?
Hostile architecture.
Thank you. And I've seen it, but I wasn't quite aware it was that bad. How did this come about? Did you see something a bit like the guys with the prostate thing? How did this come about?
It was at our desk, wasn't it? And we saw a picture of it, hostile architecture, and I guess we realised. Oh, we've sort of seen those knobbly, sharp bits sticking up on pavement.
You don't quite join the dots on
it. You don't work out what it was. No. It the pigeons or something?
No,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, really. And actually put in by quite a lot of councils, a lot of private, you know, buildings and all property and all that kind of stuff. But basically, anywhere that a homeless person might, you know, nestle down for the night. So I guess we thought, oh, geez, that's horrible. And you sort of feel a bit compelled, don't you, to do something about it? So. I think we first thought, how do you make the spikes visible and show, you know, what they're there for, really? Yeah. So we thought, turn them into a poster site because you don't see many posters on the floor, mainly because people walk all over them. And at first, you know, we thought, oh, you could use, you know, big posters made to measure and hold the posters in place. And they were just typographical messages. And then we thought, well, you know, what if you could put homeless people on it and pierce them, it's just, you know, much more sort of visceral, isn't it? So it just came about like that. And then the headlines just came quite easy, really.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Did you, I was interested about thinking about the type of paper you could use as well so it doesn't get too distressed or, you know, rip it. Was there consideration of that?
Yeah, we did testing because we had to recce a lot of sites and mostly we found quite a lot in London just in the evenings, really, just trying to find where people had posted photos. So we only had a couple of visits to, you know, to do it in London. And so we were doing all that testing really near the agency, just on railings and checking, you know, on our printers and that sort of stuff.
Are they customised per site then?
So I had to go down for a day and traipse around all these sites and then just kind of sit on them and pretend, because, you know, some really dodgy places as well that the spikes are on, like, you know, 24-hour casinos in Soho and all that kind of stuff. So really? I was like leaning back, pretending I'm yawning and measuring these kind of sites. So we did that, and then we went and shot them. Duncan Elliott shot them, and then, you know, it was a question of going down and putting them on there. So, yeah.
And it was guerrilla style, so no, without permission in these places.
Yeah, them up, right? Yeah, just kind of leaving them, really. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really powerful.
I mean, a lot of that's the particular worst bit of hostile architecture, but you can look at benches and where they put the arms on benches so someone can't lie down
for yeah.
until, you know, slants on things, all that kind of stuff, which is basically just saying, homeless people, you are not welcome. Mm-hmm. And in our minds, and the guy we worked with, Stuart Semple, obviously felt very, very strongly about, if you're going to do this, what's the, you know, what are you going to do to make people feel like they've got somewhere they can go, and there's nothing. So, right, let's just show this for what it is.
Was it, because I think I found it, hostiledesign.org, is that
his?
Yeah, yeah, that's where I saw the benches and stuff in airports even, and I think you kind of, you don't notice it until this has been pointed out, and then you go, oh, right, that's what they're for. Then you start questioning the whole setup, don't you?
Mm.
Yeah, it's... Well, hopefully that does some good, but it's a great piece of work to highlight.
Cheers.
Highlight it, yeah. Right, we're going to change tack a little bit. Harvey Nichols. Harvey Nichols, Manchester. So we were saying, you know, DDB did such an amazing job on Harvey Nichols. I don't know what's going on with it now, actually, but in its heyday, it was amazing. But was this a separate account in Manchester? Because your work is great. Looks like it's come from DDB London. Was it with another aid? You know, how did that work?
We knew a guy who knew a guy at Harvey Nichols in Manchester. It was one of those things. And when we were made creative directors at TBWA, there was a creative team that tried to get this work through previously with him. And he had some advertising space, so we kind of just pummeled it through, basically. As our first job. And it was as simple as that. And there was a bit of, DDB do it. So, and we kind of backdoored it, I would say. And we asked David Gill, who's legendary still life photographer, you know, just will you do him? And he did. And that was it. So
great. Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it was really, like you say, obviously they've done such great work. And for us, it was really important to make sure that we measured up to that, and not just did the Manchester version of. So to get those production values, to get it art directed and keep it as simple and as pure as all that kind of, which we love, all that having experience, wouldn't. It was quite a thing to do.
It's funny because I saw a bus wrap the other day for Harvey Nichols, and it was just like, I don't know what was going on. It sort of looked kind of quite arty, like it was like fashion sort of skirt, but it had nothing to it. There's no edge. I couldn't remember. I was thinking, what has happened to this brand? And then we've talked to Jeremy Cragan on not too long ago, talked about some of the campaigns they did, just phenomenal. Like
sales stuff. I loved
it. Yeah, the sales stuff.
But then again, I think it moved agency. And then, it's sad in a way, because it's just one of those brilliant brands, brilliant for posters. So great on that. So we're going to talk British Airways, another mega brand you worked on. Where were you at this point? Were you at TBWA? No.
No.
Was it Dentsu?
It was an agency that is now Dentsu, in Manchester. And we had British Airways. We did, it was when Saatchi's worked on it, and we did the regional kind of stuff, BA Regional, and a bit of World Cargo. And then I think when it moved to BBH, no one noticed, and we carried on doing it. And BBH set the guidelines, you know, it was their brand guidelines were just really inspiring, and you know, we did work completely separate from them. So we got London City Airport, and they just had really good budgets. So
They're great, like real proper retouching jobs, right?
Yeah.
Who shot? So were these shot, or do they existing shots?
Andy Glass, shot them. Yeah, so I toddled off to London and did those.
And was this a set? So there was three based around sort of heart of London, but then there's some more here which you've got.
Switzerland.
Yeah, we did different stuff. That's
very funny, that.
Yeah, different one.
So the window's like a pint.
They're all kind of different posters, really. They weren't a set as such, these ones.
But yeah, all based around London City Airport.
Yeah, yeah, so they do, sometimes it'd be a route launch, yeah, or it would just be, you know, let's highlight London City to Dublin or London City to Switzerland, and you'd just get the simplest of propositions, and with a great brand like BA,
yeah,
you can't, you shouldn't really.
I mean, they're
go
just
on,
like
you?
Brilliant classic,
yeah,
posters, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't see enough of these now. People just want that, they want to chuck shit on
yeah,
things, you know, and I don't know, there'll be some website or some invitation or some hashtag to join, which, oh God, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
there's
that,
a lot.
It's that Hegarty thing, I'm going to say it. Yogurt, you know?
Yeah.
No one really needs to have
we've
a conversation.
We've seen good yogurt ads recently, though, so you can't say that anymore.
I think he said, no, I don't think it was the yogurt ad. I think he said, I've seen the ad. I don't need to then engage with yogurt.
Okay,
after
the flexible workspaces are the new yogurt. That's what I'm going to say.
I've given you that.
Okay, we're going to go to fighting knife crime now. So another really hard-hitting piece of work. With people's scars, talking about the sort of cutbacks in community. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how that one came about?
So we've both got, obviously, we've got young kids. Gary's kids younger than mine. So the whole, you know, the knife crime, the horrible stories that are repeatedly coming out of any inner city place, you just worry about your kids, don't you? And you think, right, again, what can I do about it? We're not on the search for the big the doom headlines, but somehow it just comes out of us.
Yeah.
I promise you,
yeah,
we do have a sense of humour. So, you know, so Gary had found these stats in and around the correlation between the cuts in government spending for, you know, whether it's youth clubs or it's after school stuff or it's sports thing, whatever it is, that means kids are now back out on the street,
right,
and they've not got some caring
There's
arms
no outlet,
around them.
Yeah.
The crimes, the statistics around knife crime suddenly go up. Well, they don't suddenly
go
up, they creep up. As
yeah,
that budget goes down, that statistic goes up. That's as simplistic as we could put it. And then, you know, Gary, this beautiful, but it's this lovely idea of, you know, those statistics being made real as the scars and the shape of the graph as a scar on a young person's face.
Yeah.
And rather than it just being a number, these are the people it affects. These,
yeah.
So we look at it. Don't look at it like a number. Look at it like a person and very much put a face to it.
Mm.
And that was kind of it. And then finding the hardest hitting stats that we could and making sure that they were true was quite a job, because we didn't just want to put stuff out there that wasn't.
Don't want you to find those stats. So
yeah.
They have got their own papers about it that
yeah,
you can
yeah,
you, they bury it in, and you'd be able to plough through all that kind of stuff. And then find a client who was, you know, willing and... I will say brave enough to
yeah,
allow those images to be done,
because
it takes
a proactive piece of work. So it
yeah,
was a,
yeah,
we want to do something about this.
Yeah.
We'll find the client to run
we
it.
We kind of
yeah,
had a few things, didn't we, where we were just like, oh, as you get older, you just become more conscious
yeah,
of it, don't you?
And yeah, how can I use my craft to get
yeah,
the message out there?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Who shot them?
They were shot by David Bonney. I've had a brain block there.
Sorry.
We're talking about this before.
David Bonney,
yeah. Scottish photographer, David Bonney.
Great. They're really good. They're really great portraits.
And I would say the client on this was a guy called, I'm going to say, because he was really inspirational. He was this guy called Bruce Holder. I think he was an ex-magistrate judge, and obviously involved with police down in London and, you know various... groups down there, and immediately that he saw them, he just went, I want them and I want to do this. Let's make it happen. Anyways, that's the kind of client you want.
Yeah.
Just they see the power in it, and he just bought it, and off we went and managed to run
it. And
so.
Did you seek the client out then? You said, here's a client that we
on
think...
On this one we did, yeah.
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 It was, I guess we wanted to find somebody that, you know, this guy had done TED Talks on the subject.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was quite prepared to go kind of full out with it, really. We got coverage in the big issue, didn't we?
Yeah.
So
the first time in an email you've ever read the words, this has gone to the Home Office. And we were like, yeah, oh, right then.
For the right reasons.
Not, has it? So that was quite a moment. But, yeah, you know, you just want to, well, you want all your jobs and everything that you do to have integrity and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was... When we finished that particular job and all the things were in and we'd finished it, we were like, did something good there.
Yeah.
It was quite a
warm feeling
yeah,
inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. Well, we're going to end. You had lots more stuff, so thank you so much for sharing it all, but we probably just wanted to pick certain ones. So we're going to end on the Lowry Centre. So I was sort of saying, actually, on my script, that if we stretched our neck, we could sort of see it, because we're in gas. I mean, it's sort of out that window, isn't it? And or is it? Is it out? Nathan the engineer is telling us the other way. It's really
down
close.
The street, yeah.
Yeah. Which is a lovely place. I've been there a few times, actually, seen a few gigs. How did that come? Is that a recent thing you did there, or was that?
Yeah, it's about 20-odd years old, that really? Piece of work now, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a really sweet campaign. You've got people reacting to photography in the moment. I've got, there's Bono, and someone's holding up a lighter as if they're at a gig. There's Morrissey. And the security guy's got some flowers behind his back. Yeah, it's a very, very sweet campaign. Did you shoot these in there? Or
no, there was a photographer called Paul Moffat who's brilliant. And again, we didn't have a lot of money to do it. And so he blagged a set build. So it was done like that, basically a wall and a floor in his studio at the time. Mm. But yeah, those the photographer, I think it's Jane Bowne, isn't it? I have to get that right, because I sometimes call her June Brown, but that's Dot Cotton, so I have to be careful.
Don't confuse them.
So yeah, nice to do something that's got fame in it, you know.
Yeah. Mm. How do you work actually at TV Lowermanshire? Do you get, are you completely autonomous, or do you get stuff passed down from the mothership to you? Is it a bit of both? You
like to see those things? And we're independent. TBWA Manchester is an affiliate of TBWA Network now, after we buy out.
Right.
About 5 years ago. But what that means is we benefit from all the great stuff that the TBWA Network has, which is the disruption tools, all that kind of stuff. We can speak to anyone in the network globally, which we're currently doing. You get all the positives of that, and then autonomy to dictate which clients and how you take on teams, all that kind of good stuff. Right. So, yeah, we've got the best of both.
So, do you ever speak to Jexy at all in London?
No, we don't actually. No, there was a spell where we kind of more officially reported into Peter Souter. So that was the first when we got the job. We had to go to London and. Come to lunch, tell me what you're going to do with the place. And they're like, shit, it's Peter Souter.
Yeah.
I think we bought some new clothes, didn't we? Should have kept the labels. Yeah. We bought smart clothes. Should have kept the labels. Could have taken those back. Never been one. So that was great because, you know, Paul Belford and Sean Doyle and Mark Campbell and all that kind of stuff. So that's probably as close as we've got in our time, isn't it?
Yeah, working into London in that respect, because he was the chief creative officer at the time.
Yeah.
And then we kind of, within the groups, you know, we moved whether or not we were affiliated with Europe or we were affiliated with London. It just changed really over the years, as I guess it's want to do in networks.
But you have your own clients, and you go and win your own clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and they're not necessarily regionalised to anyone up in the north.
You pitch against your neighbours from time to time, or you pitch against London quite a bit, or both in the same pitch, you know, so it varies.
Yeah, it's good. We're going to talk about your favourite billboards now.
And we've welched out here because we've both got two. So.
Yeah. No, that's good.
And I'm very pleased to see one of them features Eric Cantona.
so predictable.
But... what have you got for us, Gary? What's your first one?
My first one, I guess I grew up, I'm a child of the 80s, so I grew up on cigs and beer advertising. And so the first poster sites I saw were things like, you know, Paul Arden sort of silk cut stuff and all that kind of thing. But I think this was the first poster that I saw that I thought, I want to do that. And I just like the fact that a poster is a joke on a page, and that's kind of it. And the Castlemaine Forex campaign, which I think again was Saatchi's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
tell us what's going on in this one.
In this one, it's the really famous Australians wouldn't give a Forex for anything else. And it's two guys in the outback, and they're kind of in awe, pointing in the distance in wonder. And above their heads is a UFO, which they completely ignored, and they're pointing at the pub instead, which I just thought it was a really great joke, you know, and again, it, just probably because it was a bit of a moment in my life. I could pick probably about 40 posters, but
It's also one of those lines, isn't it, that stuck with us all the way through the 80s and 90s.
Mm. Yeah,
it's a Specsavers type line. Yeah. It's just something where it broke out of advertising and into our everyday speak.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing in our industry to do is to write that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, I remember BBH and Boddington's, and it's not saying they're easy to write after, because a lot of people, after the Cream of Manchester came about, go, oh, got Boddington's idea. Yeah, okay, great. But Hegarty said, yeah, great, these are all great, but that's where you earn your money.
Nice bit.
And that, when I heard that, so if you can create one of those.
Yeah, but it's how amazing. Many times do you get pour a pint with a massive head on it and someone says, do you want a flake in that love? It happens. So it's how advertising affects our everyday speak. If you get one of those lines right, it gets instant repetition.
Yeah.
You've won it.
I mean, it's a great, I remember this campaign, the alligator and the arm coming out. And it's just so tonally right for Australians and the beer, and it's got the 4X thing, so it's edgy.
Yeah,
and
it's a good one.
Brilliantly executed. And then, of course...
Yeah, rather predictably. I think in the mid-90s, when we came together as a team, Simons Palmer were like...
Yeah.
We were just the Bible of doing, you know, 48-sheet posters. So this was kind of... I mean, there's so many great ones, isn't there? It's not the winning, it's the taking apart, and Michael Jordan, one, Isaac Newton, nil, all that stuff. But I chose Eric because he's my favourite footballer ever. It's my favourite team, and... I think the day somebody wrote that connection, found that connection with the year, it was a pens down kind of moment.
I think it's that line almost wrote itself.
Charles Montgomery, isn't it?
Was it?
Right. 66 was a great year for English football. Eric was born. Yeah, it's very hard to argue with that.
That's two very good ones there, Gary.
Let's get him back. Right, we're going to go to Lisa's choice now.
Oh, we like this.
So, as a writer, I picked a poster with no words on it. Ironically, you picked the ones with headlines, which is how we are. So, this was the Coca-Cola poster, which just takes the ribbon logo and creates two hands holding a bottle of Coke together. So, that idea of togetherness, which is obviously what Coke's all about, was just beautifully created in the simplest way for a poster. I just thought, right, if you distill it down to its most basic, what a poster is, I don't know anything that does it better than that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there are ones that do, but I just thought it was beautiful. I think it was done by Ogilvy.
It was a
student.
Jonathan Mack, I think his name
Graham
is. Finky, champion of it. Actually,
we had Fink on the show and he talked about it, actually, didn't he?
And he actually... Yeah. This guy didn't even work at Ogilvy and he didn't even work in the country. And I think it was one of those...
In the Far East somewhere?
Singapore,
somewhere in
the 80s.
Great story. But great, I mean, phenomenal.
He'd also hadn't he done the illustration of the Apple logo with Jobs?
Steve Jobs, yeah.
And
then the last one is Xbox Survival of the Grittiest.
So the survival poster. So I picked this one because it's it flipped the use of the media and brought it into the contemporary, I would say. Yeah. It made it, you know, event TV, made it PR, people stood there and watched it for minutes and minutes and minutes at a time.
They were streaming it online. Yeah. It became an event.
It just became, it was the, in terms of, if that's the simplest use of a poster with the Coca-Cola and the hands, then that's the smartest creation around a poster that I think I've seen for quite some time. I know it's a while back now, but... And it was the Tomb Raider. So brilliant. And people got to suffer, which is always good. why not?
They were firing water cans at them and stuff like that. It was very good.
So, I love that one.
Is this... we got this little section we do now where we talk about recent billboards, which we are kind of like...
Well, I think we're all suckers for going... But we go back to our favourite billboards and go... I think we all go back in time to our favourite billboards. And as I said the other day, it's like there's going to be younger creative teams looking back at this period of time going, that was a golden era of out of home and what's happening, and, you know, outdoor posters with the likes of BA winning Grand Prix and the stuff that we've been seeing recently and the minimalist, your Coca-Cola one is a good example of it, but the minimalist posters that we're seeing out there. What we thought we should do is look at some favourite posters of recent times as well. And Hugh's been diligently doing the Ooh, That's Nice.
Yeah, so we've got this feature called Ooh, That's Nice. brought to, it's sponsored by View to Fill, the out-of-home campaign photography and video experts. And they're sponsoring this section, which is basically, like Dan said, it kind of features stuff we really like and other people kind of like. And so we just put it out there, and it's kind of an update thing, but it's nice to just get people involved. So we've now started to get people sending in stuff from all over the world. It's really interesting. And then we have to sort of slightly meanly say to some people, there's only 20 images we can put up, or if it's not great, you know, there has to be some sort of filter on it. So the one that we really liked the other day was the one called the Backpack Billboard for the BBC's show Race Across the World. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you saw this.
Sorry, yeah,
absolutely amazing.
I think it'll be a modern classic. One of those that's going to be a modern classic.
Dave Monk sent it in. Dave is a brilliant ECD. He's filling in for Rasmus at BBC Creative. And he said, Toddy, I think you might be interested in this. And it's funny with the BBC, sometimes it doesn't get picked up. So we got it, and we were just like a bloke walking around with a billboard. Fucking hell. We love that. So that would be our ooh, that's nice choice for the View to Fill section. I think that's about it, isn't it? We got some tips, haven't we, to finish on? Gary and Lisa are going to give a few little tips.
Fab it from me to give anyone tips. But I think one that I kind of live by is just to look at how people much better than you do it and really study them. I was watching Tom Cruise the other day talking about something similar, and he's just insane, isn't he? But, you know, like studying the way people do it and the principles they use and how much craft they do in it, I just don't think you go far wrong from that, really. So I guess it's something as an art director, I've always tried to do.
Yeah. Keep pushing it.
Good. So you've got a second one on there?
My other one was don't be frightened of asking for the right opinion. I think if you know one normal person who's got a good opinion...
Please God, you know one normal
person. like my wife, who's also called Lisa, she's just got a very normal view. And, you know,
she would give you the off-the-cuff view.
She'll just tell you straight away, I don't get that. We had a presentation the other week, and I read kind of 6 scripts out to her the night before, and I'm thinking, shit, do I really want to know the answer to this in case they don't work?
She's got a great opinion, though.
Just somebody that has got a punter's view on it. And I always find that really helps me.
Especially for posters, by the way, because it's you put it out in the wild, you put it out in the public space, you get a straw poll very quickly of people who are not in our industry. They'll go, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Take a picture of it on the phone and then post it if they don't like it. So you'll know, won't you?
Exactly.
So my do's and don'ts are short and sweet and not, you know, surprising. Do keep it simple, bloody simple, as I've written there. And don't think that means it has to be boring.
Yeah.
I think it's an opportunity, as the Coke poster shows, that it's an opportunity to challenge people and make them feel rewarded for looking at something. So, those are my two.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming.
It's been so great having you on. Yeah.
No, thanks for having us. Yeah.
The billboard at the end of my street is brought to you by Superoptimal, design intelligence for out of home. Superoptimal delivers simple, machine-driven analysis and actionable insights for reviewing and improving out of home ad design. Designers and media teams can quickly analyze billboard and poster designs, gain optimization feedback, and deliver out-of-home design that is fit for purpose. Test and learn. Make informed design decisions and elevate your out-of-home campaigns at superoptimal.ai.
Ooh, That's Nice is brought to you by View to Fill, the out-of-home campaign photography and video experts. View to Fill have spent a decade mastering the art of out-of-home campaign capture. They know how these campaigns run: adaptive display schedules, dynamic creatives, and high expectations. That's why brands trust them to deliver stunning photography and next-level videography. From drones to time-lapse and motion capture, View to Fill turn your campaign into powerful content that lives far beyond the humble billboard. Because out-of-home campaigns are not just about being seen, it's about being remembered and creating a legacy. Want to future-proof your next campaign? Visit View to Fill to capture the essence of your campaign. Our music is sponsored by Gas Music, delivering sound, music, and magic.